and the subject is tefillah. And we were, all of our discussions over the last 3-4 weeks have been based upon a statement in the Zohar that reveals a remarkable quality to tefillah in the words of the child, the Yanuka, the remarkable child, the son of Rabbi Hamnuna Saba, that the words of tefillah, words of davening, are compared to a sword, to a spear, to bow and arrow, to bow and arrow. So tefillah has all of these qualities. And we were talking about, we learned inside the piece from the Morei Naim and from the Degel Machaneh Ephraim, the nature of Kriya Shema. How is it that the 248 words of Shema, the Ramach, the 248 words of Shema create a Romach, a spear to defeat the kochos of impurity, the power of impurity in the world. So we're talking about a type of tefillah, a way of davening, where davening can be used as a weapon. Where davening is used as a weapon. And what is the weapon? So we learned this already a while ago, that when the Ramban speaks about screaming and davening, when the Ramban talks about powerful davening, he says, Chatzifa notzach lebisha. That chutzpah, with chutzpah, a Jew can overcome the koach of evil. With chutzpah. Chatzifa notzach lebisha. That only with chutzpah can a person overcome ra. And what we said that meant was, all the ra, all the evil, and all the suffering of this world is the result of what seems to be, God forbid, the absence of Hashem from our lives. And it seems that our lives are being controlled by what's called destiny or fate, which is called mazel. And things happen a certain way, and there are laws of nature, and there's very little that man can do. We're sort of helpless spectators in this enormous chain of events, of cause and effect, and we have no way to control this. So what is chatzifa notzach lebisha? What's davening? Davening means the human being standing up, shaking his fist at this world, and all that seems to be, and all that seems to be fixed and permanent in the world. And the Jewish person shakes his fist and says, af al pi chein, despite all that it seems, I'm going to daven. And it's the belief that this is a chutzpah. This is the meaning of chutzpah. I'm reviewing a little bit. This is the meaning of chutzpah. Chutzpah means that a person can stand up against all of the kochos, all of the forces of this world, and can believe that what happens to me, what happens in my life, depends on Kadosh Baruch Hu, does not depend upon on the weather conditions, and upon the doctor, and upon my friend, not upon my parents. Only one thing, upon the master of the universe. So that requires a great degree of chutzpah. That's the chatzifus. And that chutzpah of the human being who can stand up, because chutzpah always means when you're standing up against something, everything is going one way and you dafka go the other way. That's what chutzpah is. Everything is going one way and you go the other way. Everything in this world is going one way and the person who davens is going the other way. Because the person who davens is laughing in the face of fate, is laughing in the face of of determinism, of the laws of nature, statistics. Chazal say that even if a sword, even if a sharpened sword is dangling over a person's throat, one shouldn't give up. One should know that it's possible to turn things around. That's the chatzifus, that's the chutzpah. That kind of chutzpah, that attitude that a Jew has, creates a new kind of davening. And that davening is a davening of spears and bow and arrow and swords that the Zohar is talking about, and that we've been studying about inside the Zohar Makadoshim the last few weeks. It's a special kind of davening. And the reason it's compared to weapons is because it has the power to cut through teva. See, teva, nature, conceals the Creator. And the job of a human being is to use tefillah as a way to pierce through, to penetrate, to cut, to slice apart that veil that conceals HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with the power of tefillah, a person can change his life, can change the course of other lives. In short, tefillah is a miraculous event. Tefillah is a miracle. And therefore we said at the very beginning of this of these discussions that in order for you to believe, in order for tefillah to work, you have to believe in nisim, you have to believe in miracles. Tefillah itself is a nis. You have to believe that it's possible. So this kind of a tefillah is not whispered. This kind of a tefillah is not whispered, it's screamed. It's screaming. It's like the rage of a person screaming against what seems to be his fate and believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu despite all odds. That's tefillah, which is like a cherv, like a sword, like a romach. And therefore we spoke about the five stones of David HaMelech becoming one stone in his sling, and how the Zohar says that those are the five words of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem, and the sling puts it all together into a chad. And this is the kind of davening we're talking about. This is the kind of tefillah we're talking about. Now, I don't know if you don't have, you can look inside. I gave this out a few weeks ago. We're going to finish up some reading, some learning, and then we're going to explain, to complete this tonight, and move on to the Inyan of Shira. It's all connected. To finally try to understand what Rabbi Nachman from Breslov meant when he said that the great weapon of Mashiach, with which he's going to redeem the world, the weapon of Mashiach is tefillah. The weapon of Mashiach is tefillah. Klei zeinu shel Mashiach is tefillah. So if you look on this page 13, if you could read the numbers on top of the page 13. We can go to 14. I'm going to skip 13. Go to 14. On page 14, what you have here is taken from the introduction of the Siddur Kesen Nahora. It's a Chassidish Siddur, printed in Berditchev, almost 200 years ago, around 200 years ago. Now you're going to see some things here that are above our madreg, it's above our level, but I want you to have a sensitivity to the kind of tefillah that a human being is capable of offering up to Hashem. So if you look on page 14, beginning the second paragraph where it says, Ken Yakavein. If you don't have, just pay attention, it's only a short paragraph. Ken Yakavein. I'm sorry for the inconvenience, the chair's downstairs. So the Kesen Nahora writes, Ken Yekavin Odom Lekadesh is a sefer v'satevos v'hapsukim v'ahosio shomer v'lomed omispalo. He says that when a person is reading a sefer, when a person is reading a chumash or reading any other sefer, and he's looking at the psukim of the letters, or the person is davening, Yekavin kil ha'osios hemenane shmaya. The person should try to have in mind as if the letters are anane shmaya, as if the letters are clouds. Listen, this is very interesting. As if the letters are clouds. You should try to close your eyes and to imagine that the letters themselves, that are like clouds, are carrying your Torah and your tefillah, carrying them to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to the Beis Hamikdash, ulushar Hashemayim, v'chol zeh yidei kavanas ahavas Hashem, ki kol aliyu b'chinas ahavas Hashem. Kamo shel Kadosh Baruch Hu shamar Chazal, min kol dibur shel Kadosh Baruch Hu nivra malach shehem ha'anonim. Chazal say that every time a Jew speaks a word of holiness, a word of tefillah, a word of davening, a word of Torah, it creates a malach, it creates an angel. If our understanding, what he's saying is it means that if a person seeks to elevate, to raise his or her tefillos up to the highest place, you have to invest into the words of tefillah ahava, great love. You see, you don't even have to understand every word. You don't have to understand. A lot of people are petrified because they look at the siddur And even if they have the English sitter, it's hard to follow the meaning of each word. And we think that the deepest and most profound level of kavana is to understand what the words mean. The truth is that that's not the highest level of kavana, to know what the words mean. That's a very wonderful thing. We should all try to do that, all of our lives, to understand what we're saying. But even if a person doesn't understand every word, but invests a great deal of energy, a great deal of kach, emotional energy into the words, that emotional energy creates a malach, which is called by the tzaddikim anane shmai, like a cloud from heaven, that carries the tefillah up to the place that it has to go. וכבוד השם שהוא הרצון הקדוש והמחשבה של השם, כי הווי הוא בחינס מחשבה נירה בענן שהוא הדיבור. Now we said from the very beginning that when a person is davening, we have to engage in our davening all the kochos that we have, which include three primary kochos. I'm just reviewing for those of you here, you already all know this, which means three primary kochos: the koch of the neshama, the soul, which means the mind. So you should be trying to concentrate with your mind on what the words mean. The koch of the ruach, the koch of the ruach, of the emotions. Of the breath, so to speak. And the koch of the nefesh, which is speech, which is the actually uttering and saying the words. When a person is davening, so one tries to join together these three kochos. I should concentrate with my mind, and through that concentration, to uplift my heart, and to utter the words to say the words in a careful way. So he's saying that when you do this, the word is carried up like a cloud. So we know that when we say the 13 midos of Hashem, when we say the 13 attributes of God, we speak about Hashem being merciful and so on. Hashem, Hashem, karachum v'chanan, right? God is merciful, etc. So you say, Vayerid Hashem ba'anan, Hashem descended in a cloud, v'yisiyatzev himosham, and the cloud that descended from Hashem stands together with the person in the place where the person is. Peyush ha-machshava, so it doesn't mean that Hashem comes down in a cloud. On our level, what does that mean? That means that when a person is concentrating, in the person's mind there's concentration, that means that you're drawing Hashem down into your life with the intellect, with your thoughts. You're drawing HaKadosh Baruch Hu down into the world. And you're connecting Hashem to your speech, to your words. In other words, by concentrating, the neshama is the deepest part of the person, so by concentrating with your mind on what you're saying, and by visualizing as much as possible the letters, you are creating this amazing situation of Ayeud Hashem Be'anan, that you're drawing Hashem down like in a cloud, and Hashem enters into your dibur, Hashem enters into your words, and then you in turn send that cloud with Hashem in it, kivyachol, to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, back to Shemayim. Back to Hashem. V'zeh shomar, v'aru manane shmayish, yikavna deizev, but atik yememateim, the certain things that are in Kabbalah I don't explain. Now, I'll tell you a little bit now outside. He explains that we see in the Zohar and in the writings of the Ari, we once learned this in the Chassidus class, in the Zohar and the writings of the Ari, that the letters of davening are called horses, susim, are called susim, horses. It says in the story, one of the most dramatic stories in the whole Tanakh, when Eliyahu was going together with Elisha, you remember? Eliyahu was walking together with his student, and it was time to part because it was time for Eliyahu to leave this world. So it says in the pasuk, "Vayihema holchem haloich v'daber b'divrei Torah," that Eliyahu and Elisha were walking and they were talking about divrei Torah. They were saying words of Torah. "V'nirechav esh v'susei esh." And suddenly there was a chariot of fire and horses of fire. And suddenly there was a chariot of fire, v'susei esh, and horses of fire. What does that mean? See, explanation is a chariot takes the person to the place that he wants to go. The purpose of the horse is to take the person to where he wants to go. When Eliyahu spoke, there were chariots of fire and horses of fire. That means that every word that Eliyahu HaNavi spoke was invested with mamish of fire, with an energy, with a tremendous energy, so that those words, those letters, those words that Eliyahu spoke, those last moments of his life, they themselves, the words themselves were like chariots of fire. I mean, he actually, of course, was carried off in a chariot of fire. But the dibur, I mean, human being's speech is like a merkava. A person should think this way when you're davening, that the words that you're saying are like chariots, like horses that carry, or like clouds, like he explained before, that carry your deeper thoughts and feelings up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what it means, Vayal Eliyahu Basa'ara HaShemayim. When Eliyahu HaNavi went up in a storm to Shemayim, and every Jewish person should raise his tefillos and his learning like a storm up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once we understand that a human being has the ability to invest in his tefillas this koach, this tremendous energy, and that his words become chariots of fire that take your feelings and your thoughts up to Hashem. So now we could talk about, we'll learn a piece from the teachings of Rabbi Nachman. We don't have it photostated there. Of why is it that before Mashiach comes, the ikar is tefillah, the main thing is tefillah. Of why is it that the weapon of Mashiach is tefillah? Why is the weapon of Mashiach davening? So I'm going to read to you a small part from Rabbi Nachman's teachings. He says, Iker Koch Malchus de Kedusha. The essential, the main strength of the kingdom of holiness, Shu Bechinas Malchus Mashiach, which is the kingdom of Mashiach, Hashem's kingdom is going to be revealed in this world through Melech HaMashiach. Hu Ayidei HaDibur Malchus Peh. According to the Zohar, the mouth is called Malchus, kingdom. Why is the mouth called kingdom? Bedvar Melech Shulton. We learned this already at great length. The mouth of a person is called kingdom. It's because through my words, my will becomes known. Just as the king is able to control, to lead, to direct his people through the words of his mouth, through the words of a person's mouth, his will becomes known. Dibur is called Malchus because Malchus means the kingdom, means how a person establishes his will, expresses his will. Ki amelach manhi kol malchus araka yidei hadibur. That's a true king. I mean, a tyrant runs the nation, runs the people through by using violence. But a true king is able to use the koach hadibur. It's the same thing in a house. There are some parents that they run their families with a sword and with a spear. God forbid, with a bow and arrow. I'm not saying they ever hit the children, chalila. But there are ways that a person can speak that do terrible damage. But a true king is able to use the power of Dibur to convince, to coerce, to speak Dvarim Hayotzim and Alev, words from the heart, to try to bring the children around, and how a husband should speak to a wife, and how a wife should speak to a husband, that the Malchus should be a Malchus of holiness, that it should be a kingdom of holiness, not that people should speak to each other with words that are violent. And we spoke about this very often in the past, that the way the Maharal explains Moshe Rabbeinu is hitting the rock. The Maharal explains that there's such a thing that when a Jew speaks to somebody in a very strong and harsh way, it's like hitting the person. It's like hitting the person. When you speak with anger, you're not using the power of speech. It's just a less abusive way. It's less abusive than actually striking the person, but it's also a level of violence. And when it says in Chazal that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to, Chazal explained that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to speak to the rock, And the Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to learn to say over some Torah in the presence of the rock. And that would have brought forth water. So the Maharal explained that a Jewish person is holy, that a Jewish person is Eloki. And when you're speaking to a Jewish person, you have to speak on the level that the Jewish person truly understands, which is dibur, which is speech, not violence. When you yell at someone, that's not using the power of dibur. The power of speech is when you talk to someone, not when you scream, when you yell, when you act like a meshugana. That's not the power of speech. That's violence. V'chol nitzachim shel ha-malchus d'kedusha, Rabbi Nachman says, any victory of the kingdom of holiness, shel malchus Mashiach. So we already see that malchus means speaking. In other words, there's going to come a time when Mashiach will come to the world and say, Ani Hashem, will reveal the truth of Hashem. It doesn't have to take place when we read about Mashiach conquering the world, Rabbi Nachman says. The conquest of the world does not have to take place with violence. Does not take place with physical violence. The establishment of the malchus of Mashiach will take place with words. That is the deeper meaning of the whole book of Tehillim. Shiyosa David HaMelech Olam HaShalom, that David HaMelech established. Shusharis Malchus Mashiach, the book of Tehillim is the root of the kingdom, it's the beginning of the Sefer Tehillim is the beginning of the revelation of the kingdom of Mashiach. And David HaMelech fought all the wars of his life, the physical wars and the spiritual wars. V'nitzach kulam, he was able to win al yedei hadibur peh, through the speech, through words. Through words. That doesn't mean that David HaMelech didn't lift up a sword. It doesn't mean that David HaMelech didn't have to fight any battles. But if you look at Tehillim, in order for Tehillim to be meaningful to a person, you have to try to place yourself in the Tehillim, to see yourself in the Tehillim, and to understand that when David HaMelech was speaking about his enemies, and all, right, chapter after chapter, David HaMelech is being pursued by enemies, and calling out to Hashem. And he speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroying his enemies. Yispardu kol po'alei oven, and so on. All the psukim of Tehillim. How do you see yourself in those verses of Tehillim? How do you make Tehillim something which is relevant to you? When you understand that the essential battle of David HaMelech was taking place within himself, and you realize that when he spoke about the sword, and he spoke about the spear, and bow and arrow, and he spoke about the sling and the stones, what he was saying really was to every Jew in the world that would ever be till the end of time, including Melech HaMashiach, his descendant, that the way to be Menatzeach, the way to win in this world, is with the power of Tefillah. And that one's Tefillos, when a person's davening, is in the way of bow and arrow and a spear and it's in, and the Susei Eish, like the chariots and horses of fire, like Eliyahu HaNavi, and you speak words that are warm and are strong, instead of speaking words that are lifeless and meaningless, so then you could defeat all the koiches that stand up against you in this world in both a physical way and a spiritual way. So when David HaMelech was saying Tehillim, David HaMelech wasn't just talking about Shaul HaMelech and his other enemies that were surrounding him and chasing him. David HaMelech was talking about the existential predicament of a human being in this world, surrounded by things that are opposed to holiness. And every single Jew is called upon by Kadosh Baruch to establish Malchus and Mashiach with the Sefer Tehillim in his hands by saying the words of Tefillah with the warmth, the love, and the devotion, and the energy of David HaMelech. V'nitzach kulam ha'idei ha'dibur peh. Da'ayinu ha'idei ribui tefillos v'sachanunim v'shivas v'shibachos bli shir. All of David HaMelech's life, continuously davening, all different types of tefillos, crying and begging and singing and praising. The whole life of David HaMelech, until it came to the point that he said about himself, Ani tefillah, I am a tefillah. He became transformed into a living tefillah, into a chariot of fire, into words of fire. And he gave these words as a gift, some of them, as a gift to the Jewish people forever in the form of Tehillim. Therefore, David HaMelech established a permanent kingdom, a kingdom of holiness. Shumalchus Mashiach. You see that in the story of Purim. Everything is connected to whatever's happening in the world at that time. You see in the story of Purim that the reaction of Mordechai and Esther, the reaction of Mordechai HaYehudi and Esther Malka to the Gezerah, to the decree of Haman and Achashverosh, there was one reaction. Tefillah. The reaction was tefillah. Every step of the way was tefillah. That was the sword of Mordechai HaYehudi, tefillah. When he went out to the street, Vayizak Zaka Gadol, and he gave a great scream, and he brought together the Jews, Lech Knosis Kol HaYehudim, and he taught them to daven again in this way, and he taught the Jewish people to know that the way that we react to difficulty, the way that we react, God forbid, to a threat, is that we strengthen ourselves with the weapon of tefillah. That's the whole victory of Purim. Purim was the victory of tefillah. Purim was the lesson that davening works. Davening counts. Al Kain, he says, Rabbi Nachman, Berov Mizmari Tehillim Maschel Behem Lam Natsayach. Therefore, most of the chapters of Tehillim begin with the word Lam Natsayach. Now, the translation of the word Lam Natsayach means, the simple translation means what? What's the simple translation of the word? When you read Tehillim, what do you mean when you say the word Lam Natsayach? Huh? The composer, the conductor. Right? Lam Natsayach Meneginos. Lam Natsayach means the composer, the conductor. That's a very odd word for a composer or a conductor. Lam Natsayach. Because everybody knows that the word Menatsayach means to defeat, to overcome. The word Menatsayach. Rabbi says most of the Kapitlach Tehillim, most of the chapters of Tehillim, many of the chapters of Tehillim begin with the word Lam Natsayach. To the one who is victorious. That's how a Jew conducts and orchestrates his tefillos. In the way of nitzachon, a victory. Lam Natsayach. He says, in the whole tachlis of Amalek, the whole purpose of Amalek in this world, as it says in Chazal, is to cool down. Asher korach abaderech is to cool a person down. That you should daven. Amalek lets you daven, but Amalek doesn't let you daven in a way of warmth, of fire. Asher korach brings a krivus, it brings a coldness upon a person's tefillos, that the tefillos shouldn't be warm, shouldn't be strong, shouldn't be powerful. Asher korach abaderech. Baderech means on the way to your victory over impurity. Amalek stands in that way and cools down the tefillos, that you shouldn't be able to say tefillos in an intense way. Who perish Rashi? She also a mizmor b'shvil halavim sheyamru sheyamenatzchem b'shir. Chaim perusho gam al kol Yisrael b'pshitus. Kemazir v'omel l'chol mi sherotz lichnos l'chol melchamas Hashem. What does it mean lam natzeach? What does it mean in Tehillim lam natzeach? What David HaMelech is teaching us is that any Jew who wants to be a menatzeach in this world, if you want to be victorious in this, what does it mean to be victorious? To be victorious doesn't mean to get the promotion necessarily. It doesn't mean to have the nicest house. It doesn't mean necessarily to have the best dressed children. Lam natzeach means that a person should be menatzeach in the real war of this world, of what this world is all about. That in his own life, the kingdom of holiness should defeat the kingdom of impurity. That in your life, you should be able to activate that quality that is called Malchus HaMashiach, or the Malchus of David HaMelech within yourself, to overcome the enemy. Whoever wants to enter into the wars of Hashem, everybody must do this. Because this is why you were created. This is the whole purpose of your creation. When you really want to be victorious, take out Tehillim and say a capital Tehillim, say a chapter of Tehillim, say this Mizmor, say that Mizmor. And even the word Mizmor, so what does Mizmor mean? What is the word Mizmor? A song, a zemer, means a song. The word Zomer also means, you know what it means, the word Zomer? Zomer means to cut. To cut. It literally means pruning, like pruning a tree. To be zomer. Lam natzeach mizmor ledavid. To the one who wants to be victorious, and to use the sword of tefillah to cut down the enemy. Lamnatzeach Mizmor LeDavid. A Mizmor is the word Zomer. LeZamer. Zmiros means that a person cuts. And that's what we were talking about before. That there has to be chutzpah. Chatzifa notzach lebisha. Because when a person... We'll talk about this a little bit in Mitzvah on Shabbos. You know, when we listen to ourselves, when it comes to things, let's say when the body wants something, the body wants a good piece of cake. I'm sure there's some of you there still eat cake. So, or at least have experienced that in the past and anticipate experiencing in the future. But this moment you won't forgive yourselves. So, when a person wants very barely a piece of cake, so you know how you hear that inside of you? I want cake. Give me a piece of cake. Oh yeah, do I want this piece of cake? That's how you hear your body asking for cake. But when it comes to davening, or when it comes to doing a mitzvah, you hear inside, sweetheart, would you like to daven a little bit? Maybe you could do a mitzvah. when it comes to physical things, there's a chutzpah and azaz panim. The chutzpah. Then you hear the body says, demands, with such koyach, give me. Would you mind? You notice how the Yetzirah always talks. It's not Dafka Yetzirah, I'm talking about cakes. I'm not talking about something which is evil. You understand? I'm saying it in a nice way. But Achas Kama V'Kama, when it's something which is improper, you hear it with such a starkheit, with such strength inside of you. It's and sometimes you'll hear, when it comes to something that you want physically, you hear it inside your head with the word I. I want this. But when it comes to davening, something inside tells you, you want to daven. You ever think of that? You should do this. Because when you really want something, you don't hear it with you, you hear it I. But when somebody else wants you to do something, you hear the voice inside your head saying, you have to study. You have to clean up. People don't go around, maybe some brave people say, I must, something you don't want to do. I have to. But really we hear it in the way of you have to. Why is that? Because we don't identify with that holiness. We don't identify with a good thing, unfortunately. But when it comes to, I want a piece of cake. Ich will a stickle cake. I want. Me. But when it comes to davening, you should maybe learn a little bit more. Maybe you should daven a little bit better. Maybe you. If you're really far away, then it's she. That's really far. There's aniyatahu. You can relate to Hashem on three levels. So if it's really far away, it's not even talking to you. It's somebody else altogether. So the chutzpah that the Ramban was talking about, I'm going to talk about this in Mishnah. No, most of you don't live around here. But we'll talk about it in Shabbos. But this is the chatzifus. This is how a Jew davens with asas panim, with chutzpah. With chutzpah. This is what the Rebbe Ruvi Sreliska said when he explained the Gemara that says that before Mashiach comes there will be chutzpah in the world. And Rebbe Ruvi Sreliska said that it means that even though Jews won't be worthy, they're going to still scream and to yell and to demand holiness and to try to be close to Hashem even though they're unworthy. Chutzpah generally means that a person goes where he doesn't belong. That's what chutzpah usually means. You go where you don't belong. It's chutzpah. You know, a person that crashes a party, that's chutzpah. If you go someplace you don't belong, that's called chutzpah, right? So Rabbi Ustralska said that before Mashiach, there are going to be Jews who don't belong close to Hashem because of the things that they've done, but they're going to insist on being there anyway. That's like Esther Malkin, when she was afraid to go in, and she says that if you're not invited by the king, you could be killed. Right? And she went anyway. And we all know that the king in the Megillah is a hint to Hashem, is Baruch to Hashem. Echov al HaMelech, how should I go before the king? Vanilon Akrasi, I haven't been called, I haven't been invited. So every Jew feels that before Mashiach. Echov al HaMelech, how dare I approach the king? I haven't been called. But then when a Jewish person davens with chutzpah and overcomes that obstacle of nature, and of years of distance, and the person draws himself or herself close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, then you find that Hashem reaches out the Shabbat Azar, the golden scepter, and that we find chen and chesed in Hashem's eyes. Hashem likes chutzpah like that. The job of our lives is to increase the chutzpah of the soul to defeat the chutzpah of the body. That we should be spiritually chutzpah, that we should begin to hear ourselves screaming for things that are spiritual. And that when it comes to eating a piece of cake, you hear the body saying, maybe you should have a piece of cake. when it comes to davening, I want to daven. I need to daven. And this is the purpose of man's creation. To really win this war, you have to have chutzpah. If you're in a war and you're lethargic, you're lazy, if you're oyef, you're tired, you're without fear of God, oyef v'yageya, like when Amalek attacked the Jewish people, you didn't have kayach, and so then you're sitting duck. You're just a sitting duck. You have to have kayach. Yomar mizma zeh bepamoli v'havin heitev. Understand this well. Because I'm sure all of you have heard that Rabbi Nachman from Breslov, one of the things that he emphasized so much in his teachings was that a person should speak to Hashem in his or her own words also, not just to say Tehillim, but to be able to speak your own words, Takar Shbaruch Hu, to try each day to have a few minutes to speak to Hashem, to tell over things that are worrying you and things that are causing you to be happy and so on, and to speak to Takar Shbaruch Hu as one would speak to as a child would speak to a parent. When David HaMelech would say "Lam Natzeach Mizmor LaDavid," he would say about himself that it's with this Mizmor that David was able to defeat his enemy. That's what David HaMelech was saying. With this Mizmor, with this song, with this Tefillah, I was able to overcome my enemy. And there are many, many enemies that we have, just like David HaMelech had. We have also enemies. No, we don't see that those enemies are trying to hurt us, but laziness and anger, this depression, the biggest enemy that a Jew has is depression, is to be sad. It's the biggest enemy's sadness. He says, no matter what level you're on, even if you're on the lowest level, and a Jew has to know and to believe, even if you're on the lowest level, even if you've done every aveir in the world, you have to know and believe that when you daven, you are certainly defeating many things. You are certainly, on that day that you're davening, no matter what you've done in your life, you are defeating the side of impurity. Therefore, you see that the word nitzachon, he just hints to this, that nitzachon, victory, is the same word as netzach, which means eternity, something that is forever. If you're strong in your diving until you feel that your soul is mamish leaving, you know, you put yourself into it. We're going to talk a lot about how to do this. I mean, you might not feel like it initially, you might feel silly. But if you do it for a few minutes and you try to concentrate and to, when you're in a place by yourself, to call out, mamish, to yell. If you begin this way of serving Hashem, ultimately you'll be victorious. You might not see results right away, but if you continue in this path, then ultimately you'll be victorious. By the Chassidim, they always say that he gives you a patch, you give him a patch. The main thing is who gets in the last patch, meaning the Yetzer, the evil one. You give him a patch, a smack, he gives you a smack. The main thing is make sure you get in the last smack. Make sure you get in the last patch. A person who is serving Hashem in this way of Lam Natzeach Mizmor LaDavid, when a person is serving Hashem in this way of Lam Natzeach Mizmor LaDavid, he's guaranteed to get in the last smack, the last patch. The way that it is in a physical war, that what counts most is the courage, the bravery, and the daring of the soldiers. You know how important it is during a war for the officers to continuously be encouraging and strengthening the morale of his soldiers, of the troops. I remember even when I used to play basketball in high school, I used to think it was pretty odd how the coach was screaming like all kinds of things to get us excited. And I really wasn't, I enjoyed it, but I wasn't as excited maybe as I should have been about it. But they used to scream like, you know, you're going to kill him, get it. Like, these things like, you know, like really, yeah. To get you going, and we can imagine that was in yeshiva. I can't even what goes on in other places. I mean, we were told to kill and to destroy and to, you know. So when a person's in a war, there have to be words of encouragement and to strengthen the morale of the soldiers. He says it requires a great amount of expertise to know how to encourage soldiers when they're fighting in a war. That's how a person has to be in this fight with the other side, with the side of evil, with the Yetzer Hara. A person has to strengthen himself mamish all the time. And to say it mamish with your mouth, to verbalize this. If you could, there's a Shabbos clock. We have it. That actually, yeah, means that a person, no matter what a person has done, sometimes, all the time, just when you feel like you want to daven, you have something to say, then Amalek comes to you and tells you that, do you really think that Hashem cares about your tefillahs? You did so many things, the same mouth, a half hour ago was saying such lashon hara. Do you think Hashem really cares about your tefillahs? See, that's the koach of Amalek. Amalek comes to the Jew and says, you've been davening your whole life and you've never been answered. Doesn't work. That's Amalek. That's what Haman said, Elokeihem Yashinhu. That's what Amalek said, that your God is asleep. He lives. There's a God. But Eshluft. He's not interested in you. Eshluft. That Yetzar that tells you that your tefillahs were never answered. It's a lie. Our tefillahs are being answered all the time. There are tefillahs that haven't been answered. There are tefillahs that haven't, I mean, tefillahs are always listened to, but there are tefillahs that haven't been answered the way that we want. But to come with such a lie to say, to come up with such a lie to say that tefillah doesn't work. You know how many tefillahs are being answered right now as we're sitting in this room? The tefillahs that are being answered right now as we sit here in this room. The tefillahs that are being answered. The fact that we're breathing and living. We're not saying those tefillahs. There are tefillahs that we have going on all the time inside of us. We just don't say them. And they're being answered. And we're not grateful enough for our tefillahs being answered. Aside from the other tefillahs that are being answered, that have been. The nature of a person is that when your davening is answered, you forget about it. We only have complaints when the davening isn't answered. How many times the tefillahs are answered and we forget about them? And right now, we're all saying, every person right now is that we're davening inside of ourselves for things that are being answered. Did you ever think when you were driving, what would happen? I had this ridiculous thought the other day. I'm hoping you've never had this thought. While I was driving, I had the thought, what happens if the mirror is not telling me the truth? The rear view mirror. I don't know. Just because he's been doing well for all these years, maybe this time, maybe it's showing me what's behind the next car. Maybe it's not, I mean, it's crazy. It was just a craziness. How do you know the mirror is telling you the truth? Because you know you put your life into the hands of the mirror every single second that you're driving, right? You place your life into the hands of that you believe in the mirror, that the mirror has this property, reflects in such a way that shows you what's behind you, and that's all it is. There's nothing to worry about. You look in the mirror and there's nothing, there you go. That's also a tefillah. We don't realize that. I mean, it sounds silly a little bit. Maybe if you think about it more, it's not so silly. You know how wonderful it is just that things stay the way that they are? and how inside of us there are things that we want to be a certain way, and they remain that way. We don't think about it. It's not something we're davening for that we actually think about it. Ain't the hadvarim olim halalev. It doesn't come to the heart. We don't think that there's any reason why these things should be taken away. But inside of us there's this continuous tefillah. Hashem Baruch, please. I know how I feel every day when I come home. I have a tefillah inside of me. I don't say it, but there's a tefillah inside of me that my wife should be well and the kids should be okay and everything should be all right. You never came to your house a little bit nervous for some reason, thinking that you had this bad feeling that chalila, maybe something is not well. So we have these tefillahs all the time. We have these tefillahs all the time. There are tefillahs that are like rain, and there are tefillahs that are like dew. Tefillahs that are like geshem are tefillahs that we know about, that we scream about. Tefillahs that are like tal, tefillahs that are like dew, are the ones that are gently there all the time, giving us life and giving us good things, but we don't realize that it's even there, like nobody notices the dew falling. So every minute it's there. Kitzich l'chazek esatzmo harbe, kisharetz alasik betfilah v'sich v'dibur b'enu l'vein koinu l'hamen, and to believe, shebevada yinatzach al yidei zeh, im yechozik lasik b'zeh, kol yom av kanal. Ve'ech shiyah afilim l'yiskel netzeach em l'chomer b'l'shleimus chasusham af al pichein kvar nitzach harbe yadidur ma'kadoishim ba'atzmam. This is what Mordechai and Esther were telling the Jews. Mordechai and Esther were telling the Jews that it's not true what Amalek is saying, that tefillah does count. And even though you haven't seen always victories in your lives, and it hasn't always worked in the way that you've wanted, but if you look back and you think that you can then you can realize that tefillah has had a tremendous effect. And that even if it's not an entire victory, there have certainly been many partial victories, and many good things have come. Anything that a person, any effort that a person makes to be victorious remains forever. Any effort that a person makes to win this war remains. Even if you weren't able to finish up what you wanted to do, b'shleimus. It says in the Zohar that there isn't the slightest goodwill, even the slightest ru'usa tava, a little thing that you want inside of you and you weren't able to carry it out, even a ru'usa tava, a good desire, the Zohar says, there hasn't been one good desire that one Jew has ever felt in his entire, her entire life, that has been lost from Hashem. Every single good desire, even if you weren't able to carry it out, every single good desire. Befati b'rim akal shel tefila. She says, yakar ben akal. And certainly when it comes to the words of tefillah, which is the most precious thing in the world, she says, a yakum nakal. You know, you see, the Svarim HaKadoshim say that you see, have any of you ever done a Hatavas Cholam? If God forbid a person has a bad dream, everybody should have good dreams, but if a person has a bad dream and it's really, really bothering you, and you've had it, let's say, a few times, and maybe you had it even on Shabbos, and it's upsetting you, a lot of the dreams that we think are bad are not bad at all. Chazal interpret many of the dreams, and we know that we think that they're bad, they're good dreams. And in general, when a person has a bad dream, you should say right away, it's a good dream. You should say it's a good dream. Why is that? So you see that if a person has a dream that's really affecting, if it's really affecting you, then you can go to three people, and you can make a Hatavas Chol. You go down to three people. You don't have to say over the dream. You just say that there's a nusach in the siddur. It says in the siddur how to do it. That you had a bad dream. I saw a dream that's not good. And the three people can tell you that it should be a good dream. It should be a good dream. You saw a good dream. It is a good dream. It will be a good dream. Then there's a tefillah to say afterwards. So we see from this that the dibur of a person, the person's speech has enormous power. The words of a person have enormous power. It could be that it was mamish, it was God forbid a chalom ra, it was a bad dream. And a bad dream, I'm not saying that bad dreams, I mean, we know that Chazal already said that most dreams are not an Irish guy. Most dreams are nonsense, especially nowadays. Most of the dreams are nonsense. But there is something there. I mean, Chazal already told us that there's a certain kind of a dream that has some level of prophecies. You all know there's a certain prophetic quality to a dream. And yet I can obliterate that negative dream by just saying the words, I saw a good dream. I say, it should be a good dream. It should be good. Chalam toiv. Chalma tavachazis. I saw a good dream. And by saying the words. So if words of a person have the power to change a dream, which is a bit of a prophecy, if a person's words have the power to transform the bad dream into something which is good, then could you imagine how much power do the words of a person have to change oneself into somebody that's better? To say good words. To say words that are good. That's why the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh made such a big deal about saying a lot of Tehillim and saying a lot of Tefillahs. Even if you don't, just to say. Just to say. You can go to certain places in the world where you still see Jews like this. You can go to Meiron or Kever Rochel, you see Jews that sit and say Tehillim 12 hours a day, right? More. A lot of those people don't have this vaguest idea what they're saying. They don't know. A lot of them don't know what they're saying. Tehillim is a hard sefer, you know. And they're not sitting with an art scholar or Mitzuda or some translation into whatever language is easier for them. So how come those people are able to say Tehillim for 12 hours a day without understanding, and you and I have a hard time saying Tehillim for 15 minutes with understanding? With all our equipment, you know, with all our different kinds of Tehillim and special effects and everything to get us to feel more of a need to say Tehillim. Because there are people in the world who believe that the words themselves are weapons and the words themselves are powerful. And they're able to throw their hearts and souls into the words of David HaMelech to connect themselves to David HaMelech himself when they daven. When a Jew davens, one should connect oneself to the souls of the tzaddikim who have passed away and to the tzaddikim who are presently alive. And to know, you should include yourself with the tzaddikim in their tefillahs, and all Klal Yisrael in their tefillahs. And to know that regardless of what you understand, the words themselves have unbelievable power to change you, to change you, to change your life. So when we say that the weapon of Mashiach is tefillah, the weapon of Mashiach is davening. And with davening, he's going to change the whole world. The descendant of David HaMelech is going to change the world with his power of tefillah. So tefillah, dibur, speech, is malchus, is the kingdom, is the establishment of the kingdom. And the kingdom of Hashem is going to be established in this world through the koach ha-tefillah, through the power of tefillah. That's why I once explained to you that the word Mashiach really is the same letters as the word Messiah, which means to speak, to converse. The name of Mashiach means, Messiah means to speak with a sin. A sicha means a conversation. Mashiach is conversing. The definition of Mashiach is the one who is conversing with God. Mashiach. Continuously. Mashiach. He's continuously conversing. He's in an ongoing dialogue with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the whole idea of Tanis Esther. The whole idea of Tanis Esther. Tanis Esther is different from other fast days. I don't have time to go into this right now. In what way is it different? In halach it's different. And the purpose of what Tanis Esther means is different. Tanis Esther is joining together with Esther HaMalka in her tefillahs. In her tefillahs. Tanis Esther means that a Jewish person reacts to suffering and reacts to a threat with speech, with dibur, with tefillah. That's how a Jew reacts to fear. When Esther HaMalka was in danger, when the Jewish people in Shushan were in danger, Tanis Esther teaches us that the way that the Jewish people react under the gun, or under the knife, under the sword, the way that the Jewish people react, what we do is we turn to our tefillahs. We begin to daven. And it's with the power of tefillah that a person can be victorious. And that's the deeper meaning of the word lamnatzeach, what Chazal tell us, the Gemara says, the lamnatzeach is, and in a certain way, means that a person defeats Hashem. Chazal say, we once spoke about this, lamnatzeach, Chazal say, Zamru l'misha menatzchim also v'sameach. Let's sing a song of praise to the one whom when we defeat him, he rejoices. What does that mean? It means Hashem loves to be defeated by Jewish people. He loves to be defeated by us. In other words, for whatever reason Hashem declares a decree Chalila against the Jewish people, like at the time of Purim, and the purpose of that decree is that we should be able to return to the world of Tefillah and to fight that war of David HaMelech. And when we are able to overcome, when we are able to be victorious, so Hashem is truly happy when we defeat him. Although sometimes it looks to you in your life that things are going a certain way according to your mazel and your fate. And when you're able to overcome that with the power of tefillah, Hashem is happy because the whole reason you are going through that difficulty is that you should be able to daven to turn things around. To turn things around. And when you do that, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejoices. We should be zeichet this, that everybody should have a Simchas Purim. Should be zeichet Mitzvah Hashem to see that all the tefillahs of the Jewish people are answered, not just the tefillahs that we're davening now, but the tefillahs of all our ancestors from the beginning of time. It should be zeichet Mitzvah Hashem. Each one of us should be able to see in our own lives the transformation of all things that are bad into things that are good. It should be zeichet to understand the koach tefillah that Hashem gave us. Mitzvah Hashem, we should be able to join together with all the tzaddikim to see Hagula Shlema Amitis B'Meir Amen.